Very good. Hold ya.
Now grab your water.
All right. Whoa. Okay. So, funny thing happened. Someone just came up to me and said, "Hey, you want to meet my sister?" I was like, it's so funny. No, just taking my time. All right. Before we start in the message, when I was doing the PowerPoint, I was like, so you guys know that I wasn't lying. I put in some pictures of some of our life in Cambodia. So that is when we were in one of the villages that we were helping. The lady standing on the left, that's my mom. This is my dad, one wearing pink. The guy on the right, that's the one fruit that we had. That's the translator. His name is Pastor Sarah. Siren. That's when my mom got into an accident. Next. That was me when I was like 15, 16. I was weird. That's me and my brothers. So you know who's the cutest. No, I'm kidding. But yeah. And if you guys want to know more, you can stalk me on Facebook.
Facebook.
Or,
Facebook.
But yeah, so again, we're continuing in our series, Love in Deed and in Truth. And this sermon, this series, this message is, I think with all of my messages, I think this is where I really got excited, the most excited compared to all my other messages. Because what we're going to talk about now is the hope of love. Alright? Before that, we'll just pray. Father, we're thankful and grateful for you. We're thankful for just the last day that you have given to us, this the safety and the fun and the enjoyment we had in this camp, in this retreat, and with each other. Father, we pray that may you continue to bless us, and in this last message, that may you give us the hope that we desperately need, O Lord God, to live this life in your grace, by your grace, and for your glory. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And amen. Just to give you a quick review. Again, we've talked about how in our first night, we talked about the excellence of love, in that we saw how love is this. Paul described it as the greatest thing, more than any other thing that you could ever experience. And without love, you're nothing. And with love, you are pointing to the person. He was pointing to a list that points to a person. That basically God is love. He's the very definition of love. And next we saw in Jacob's life the truth about love, that before you can get to actually showing love, you need to know the truth about yourself. The truth about love is that you are known, you are loved, and the reason why you don't have to pretend, you don't have to be this other person or deceive people. You don't have to wear a mask. Why? Because deep down inside, God loves you. And if His opinion of you is the only thing that matters, you can live freely, courageously to love other people. Right? And then next, we talked about the sacrifice of love. That in love, there needs to be sacrifice and courage. And we saw that in the life of Ruth. Right? And in the life of Ruth, we saw how sometimes love is illogical, inexplicable, when you commit yourself to another person to love them unconditionally. Then we saw in the life of Christ last Sunday the pain of love. And we saw that in Christ, that without the risk of rejection, without the risk of pain, there is no true love. And we saw that clearly in the life and even in the prophecy of Jesus Christ. And after that, we saw the realness of love. Practical ways we can show love. And in the very thing, you cannot love with hypocrisy. You cannot love by pretending. You cannot love by loving other people just to feel good about yourself. You love simply because you love the person. Because God loves that person just as much as He loved you. And today, again, we're going to talk about the hope of love. Why do we need hope in life? What is hope? Why is it important in a person's life? Oh, I thought you were raising your hand.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, maybe it's because, you know, the only reason why we want to be here is because we're hoping for that, right? Like, even if you feel sad or something, then hope makes you say, oh, but tomorrow's gonna be a better day.
Yo, that's an awesome answer. Did you hear what he said? He said the reason why we need hope is because if you have hope and you live life now, even if you're sad, you know that tomorrow is gonna be a better day. That's why you can keep on living. That's a great answer. Yo, he should be your next youth pastor. And that is the thing with hope. The hope is you're expecting something to happen in the future, and yet it dictates how you live today. Look at that. It's your expectation for tomorrow, and yet it dictates how you will live today. For example, if you want to be like the next Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant, don't be like the next LeBron James, okay? You will train yourself so hard because you have that hope that you will be like them in the future, right? If you're hoping to become a successful tech guy like Bill Gates or Tim Cook, you will study so hard in your passion of electronics or in IT. Why? You will spend the most because if that is your hope, it will dictate on how you live today. If your hope is that this special girl will notice you, you will dress nice. You will smell nice, right? You will try to look try to impress her as much as you can, because if your hope is to be with her, it will dictate on how you live today. But if it doesn't impact your hope, if it doesn't impact your life today, if what you're hoping for doesn't really do anything in your life in the present, that's not what you call hope, that's what you call wishful thinking. Right? If you want to be a successful business guy, but you're not really studying today, that's not hope. That's your wishful thinking. I wish I am going to be like this or like that. If it doesn't impact your life now, that's not your real hope. Because and you know what? If you really want to know a person, if you really want to know who they are, know their hopes, know their dreams. And here's the thing, we as people, we as Christians, we have a deeper hope that no one can take away from you. We have a deeper hope, a richer, a more foundational hope that no one can take away from you. This is a thrilling concept, and this hope defies any earthly reasoning, earthly logic, because it makes us see today and the future like no one else can. It makes us have a perspective unlike anyone in this world can ever have. If they don't have our hope, they don't see what we see. They don't look at the world like we look at the world. But the question for us today is, what are you hoping for? What are you hoping for? Because God is offering you hope unlike anything in this world. But you can get stuck, you can get your hope stuck here, and it will be shallow, and it will be gone just like that. But if you have a hope that God is offering you, that, and if it impacts your life, that is where we can get to see a different kind of living, a different kind of way where we can be, love other people, if we have a hope, this hope of love. All right? Let's read this verse, and then we'll pray. Can you all stand up? We'll read Revelation 21:3-4. Ready? Read. And I heard a loud voice from the throne. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful again for your word. Thankful, Lord, I'm just praying for your guidance and your help. Today, oh Lord God, that we really need you to put this hope in our lives and in our hearts. Let this be the realest hope that we can ever have, and none of this things that the world is offering us. Thank you, God, for everything. In the name of the precious Son Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's all sit down. I know we prayed again; just needed some more prayer. All right. That time is so fast. All right. What do we see here? Number one, there's a fulfillment of a beautiful prophecy. The book of Revelation was written 90 years after Jesus Christ was put to death on that cross. All right? 90 years that the church was existing. What happened in that 90 years, was written by the Apostle John, the same guy who wrote the Gospel of John, the 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, and he wrote Revelation, and God revealed to him what will happen in the end of days. Alright? This book is the culmination of God's plan for the world, and it gives vision and it gives hope to the Christians living back there. Why did they need hope? Because Christians back then were dying for their faith. The fact that they were Christians, they were being killed and they were being murdered, and people were being put in these arenas, being fed to lions and being crucified. Why? Because of their faith for this carpenter from Nazareth. And because of this, many were doubting their faith, and they were thinking if this faith is still true, and so they needed hope. In this passage, we see that there is this city that will come down from heaven to earth. It's called the New Jerusalem. And we see here that a voice was saying, this amazing voice. John heard this voice, and he said that the dwelling place of God is with man. What does that mean? In the Old Testament, we see that before, with Adam and Eve, God himself was living with man. Remember? God himself, that man can talk to God, can freely walk with God. But because of sin, that relationship, that presence, that nearness of God and man, they were separated. Man decided to isolate himself from God and walked away from that beautiful relationship and that beautiful presence of God, right? And when that happened, we were separated from God. What happened after that? And what the story of the Bible is this, that yes, we went out of our way against God. We left God. We didn't want God. But the story of God is this. It's God wanting, desiring you, desiring man, that he wants again to dwell with us. He desires your presence to live in close contact with you again. to, it's for His presence and your presence to be close again. Even though man didn't want that, but that's God's desire to be close to His most special and beloved creatures, just like you and me. And so what did God do? And really quick, the history. Do you see that picture? I know it's kind of blue, but that's a tabernacle. And in that tabernacle, the Israelites were on the wilderness, and they needed to see the presence of God, right? And the presence of God would be in this fire and in this cloud, but they needed the presence of God in order for them to sacrifice. And so what happened is that the presence of God would come down, and they made this tabernacle, because in here that the presence of God is in this tent, in this tabernacle, and that they can be with Him and have a relationship with Him through this tabernacle. This is where God's presence dwelt. And they were outside this tabernacle with their tents. Okay? So that is how God... And we see in throughout history that His presence would come in buildings, would come in symbols, just so people would know that it's His desire that God shall be with men. To get that? And so the tabernacle was passed, and what happened there after the tabernacle became the temple, the Solomon's temple, and after that God's presence dwelt in the temple of Solomon when the Israelites dwelt the city that they were supposed to dwell, the promised city, and in the presence of God being stored in the temple, that is how men that is how God dealt with men, and that is how men had a relationship with God through the temple. That is how God became with men. And after that, what happened? And when the Israelites said, "No, we don't want you still. We don't want you anymore." What happened? God still desired to be with man, and so His temple became dwelt in a person. Who's that? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the temple of God, so that that people can see the desire of God is still to be with men. Remember when He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." Why? It's still His desire to be with men. And after Jesus Christ, you know where the temple of God, what the temple of God is now? It's you, and it's me. Next, back. Here's a bunch of verses that shows that this is the desire of God for God to be with man and for man to be with God. We don't have much time, but this has always been the desire of God. And today, the presence of God is stored in believers, in Christians, in you. You are now the temple of God, because in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? So you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." Your body is now the temple of God. That is how God is showing that He desires to dwell with men. And in the last days, here's the thing. There will be no need for temples. There will be no need for tabernacles. There will be no need for symbols. In the last day, God Himself will come down and dwell with us. His love for us, His desire for us, that finally He will be with us. The story of the Bible is God's story of Him coming to the rebel and making him a son. From an enemy into a friend, from a sinner into a saint, for His namesake and for His glory. In God's love and desire for us, that He wouldn't relent, but He wants to bring us back home with Him. In the end of days, when eternity begins, here's the thing, time will pass, eternity will start. God Himself will be with us. There is no more need for symbols, buildings, temples to store in God's presence. God Himself will be with us, with you and me for eternity. And this is the prophecy that God is giving to us. How does that impact you and me? The fact that God's desire from eternity to eternity was to be with you. It's always been to be with us. Does that give you hope or does that give you fear? One day you will be with Him if you have believed in Him and accepted Him in your life. If you will not, if you will reject God just as so many people, you will be separated with Him forever. And that's the scariest thing. The scariest thing about hell, it's really not the fire, it's not the worms, it's not the anguish. No, the scariest thing about hell is forever you will be separated with God that loves you and desires you. There will be no more of His protection, presence. There will be no more of His grace. That's the scariest thing about hell. You will be forever separated from the God who loves you unconditionally. Do you get that? His from eternity to eternity, what He wanted was to be with us. And in the end of days, that will happen. He will dwell with us. Does that give you hope? Number two, we will see the beginning of perfect intimacy. He will dwell with them and they will be His people and God Himself will be as their God. I told you from the very first beginning, what we want, what we desire, what we crave in life is to love and be loved. Right? In the end of days, that perfect intimacy of being loved, of loving God, it will happen. It will be a perfect union with God Himself. He will finally have snatched you out of all of your abusive and oppressive lovers. He will call you to Himself. How does this make you feel that God, the God of the universe, wants you? That relationship in the garden with mankind, with Adam and Eve, that will be restored. That intimacy we all long for in a person can never be compared to the intimate relationship we will have with God when eternity with Him starts. The way you feel about someone right now, the way you feel about the intimacy that you can have with someone right now, think of that. Think of how you had your first love and you feel things that you've never felt before. And times seems like it's on standby, that you can spend the rest of your days and it will not be enough to be with that special someone. Imagine God, your greatest lover, will be you will be in such intimate relationship with Him and you will have eternity to get to know Him more and more. In that moment with Jesus, when we are in the new heaven and new earth, we will finally have a greatest lover and nothing can take Him away from us. And that intimacy is nothing that we can ever imagine. But here's the thing, we can have a taste of that intimacy today. of that eternal and majestic intimacy that we will have for eternity. How? Look at creation. This is how God shows you that He loves you. In His Word, in His providence, in the way He moves you, in prayer, in worship, in community, in fellowship, in service. This is how you know that God is intimate with you. And in serving Him, in praying to Him, and in reading His love letter, that is how we see that we can have a taste of that intimate relationship with God. We can have a taste of perfect eternal intimacy now. The joys, here's the thing about heaven. The joys in heaven aren't the streets of gold. It's not the rewards that you will have. It's not the eternal life that you will have there. The greatest joy in heaven is that you will finally have God, and God will finally have you. That's the ultimate joy. That's the ultimate greatest thing about heaven. It's not the things that we will see. It's the person that we will be with. 1 Corinthians 13:12, it says, "For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." You get that? We see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, that then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. What we have with God is kind of like, it's a dim picture of what we can have with eternity. Because one day, here's the greatest thing. Today, in the Bible, you will always see that you cannot look at God face to face. Why? Because He is holy and you're a sinner. You cannot see Him in His perfect glory and majesty. In heaven, you will see Him face to face. You will see Him. But still, even in our resurrected, in our heavenly bodies, you still will not be able, I do believe you will still not be able to comprehend the height, the depth, the greatness of God. It's in heaven. You will have eternity to love Him and to know Him more. And eternity will not be enough for us to enjoy this great God. And because you were made for Him. And finally you will be. That was your purpose. Here's the thing. God's greatest desire is to be with you. Man's ultimate purpose is to be with Him. God's greatest desire is to be with you. Man's ultimate purpose is to be with Him and enjoy Him forever. Now, where is your hope? Is that your hope? And last, what do we see? Number three, it's going to be the end of sin's cruelty. He says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Deep down in everyone's hearts is that they know that something is not right. That this is not the way that it's supposed to be. And in that great day, all of sin's effects will be gone. Here's the thing. Imagine your life. No more sin. No more evil desires. No more things that make you cry. No more things that make you suffer in pain. There will be no more death. Imagine that day when God Himself will wipe away every tear from their eyes, every tear from every disappointment, rejection, confusion. We will be like children coming home from a world that's bullied us, abused us, and oppressed us. We will come home to the good Father. He will take death away, the greatest enemy of mankind. And we will eventually overcome. Here's the thing about eternity. Have you ever had a nightmare? No one?
Yeah.
What's the greatest thing about a nightmare? When you wake up. Here's the thing about eternity. The suffering, the pain, the death, the tears that has happened, it will be a distant memory that all of those things will seem like just a nightmare. And we will finally wake up to the reality that God Himself, the Father Himself, will wake us up, open our eyes to a brand new world, that this is where we ultimately belong. Why is hope so important? Because it dictates your life today. We can have that hope today that we will have a reality in the future. What does that mean? So that means that you should not be affected by the trivial issues of your high school life. You should not be affected by the drama that is happening around you. Why? Because you were not made for this world. You were made to be with Him. In the time of slavery in America, back in those days when slavery was still rampant, Christianity thrived among the black slaves. Even though their masters used and abused them in deplorable heights, their masters would even have worship services, and they would use the Bible to remind their slaves, you have to subject to your masters because God told you so. But you see, slaves found hope. These African slaves found hope. They found it together when they met secretly and organized their own churches. A description of a prayer meeting that happened was recorded by Peter Randolph in 1847. This is how he records it. He says, "The slave forgets all his sufferings except to remind others of the trials during the past week, exclaiming, 'Thank God, I shall not live here always.'" That was how they found their hope. I'm not going to be here always. I will be with God one day. And even though they suffered so much, you see, we shall not live here always. What's there to fear? What's there to be insecure of? Why? Why do we become anxious? Why do we become worried? Because there is hope. We are His people. Should be the most courageous, enduring, and persevering people there is. We are to be the people who would love God passionately, love people unconditionally. God's love will be proven victorious. And looking at the great future, He calls us to love indeed and in truth. At the end, true Christians will have that hope. Because you do not find God useful, you will find God beautiful. That's the hope of love. Where is your hope? What is your hope? If it's not something that will last forever, you will have no more hope to live. If this is your hope, what's there to stand from living freely by God's grace and by His love? To love God passionately, to love people unconditionally. Why? Because we have this hope of love. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful and grateful for who You are. Thankful for the grace and the mercy that You have given to us. Father, we are so thankful for the reminder of that You reminding us that there is hope in everything that we do. That's why we can live today courageously, freely, because You have given that hope. Because one day we will see You face to face. And if that is our ultimate hope, what is making us scared right now? What is making us anxious right now? What is making us worried? What is making us insecure? It's such a trivial thing compared to the hope that You are offering to us in heaven. Thank You, Father, for all that You have done. In the name of Your precious Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Sure, if you want to. Do we have time? It's up to you. Before we end, there's a song. There's a beautiful song that I really want you guys to hear. I don't know if you guys know this, but this is the hope of a Christian life. And while the worship team is singing this song, close your eyes and try to meditate. Where is your hope? Is it in God or is it in other things? And this beautiful song, if you don't know who God is yet, if you don't know who Jesus Christ is yet, if you haven't accepted Him as your Savior, as your Lord, as your Father, you have the time now, as this song is playing, to talk to God. Lord, I accept your eternal love. I accept your future. I accept who you are in my life. And as we sing this, may we continue to be reminded of His beautiful love for us.
I see your face, you're beautiful.
may we continue to find you beautiful. And if not, and if we still don't know you, Lord, we know that you are giving yourself to us right now. May we believe in you. And then we accept your love in our hearts. Lord Jesus Christ has shown us how beautiful you are, and may we trust in him as our own Savior and our own Lord. And Father, if there is anyone struggling in their faith right now and struggling in sin, the thing with sin, it's not to just do good things so that we can defeat sin. We defeat sin by seeing how beautiful you are, and in seeing how beautiful you are, we see that the disgust, the wretchedness of sin, and that's why we can avoid it, because we can come to you, because you're not just useful to us, you are beautiful. Thank you, God, for this hope. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Everyone, we're going to go into small groups now. When you're done, please be back here by 11 o'clock sharp. You are dismissed.
Oh, thank you. Hey, man. Yes.
Would you rather in heaven have a waterbed cloud or a regenerating funnel cake halo?
Oh, I don't think we have a halo in heaven.
But would you?
Huh?
But would you?
I would say